And good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. Kyle High with you this morning. Hope everybody is having a great day. And it is now time for Greenside up here on the Mighty 690 KGGF. And joining me in studio this morning is Wendy Powell from the K-State Wildcat District. And Wendy, good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you, Kyle?
Doing really good. Good to have you here in studio today. And especially saw you last Wednesday at the K-State party, which was a lot of fun. Got to meet the overall director over the whole state, correct?
Yes. Dr. Hadley was able to join us, so that was a real treat. Yeah,
and that was nice. And also we got the award, which we do very much appreciate. So we thank you guys for that as well. All right, so before we get started on your main topic today, there's a couple of events coming up, correct?
Yeah, we've got several things lined up. Some deadlines coming up at the end of December to really kickstart the 2022 year with some great programs. So first of all, I wanted to mention the risk management skills for Kansas women in ag. This program is not limited to just females, but it's going to be a 5-part session. The first 4 are going to focus on crop production, enterprise budgeting, crop insurance, stress and resiliency, marketing, farm bill programs, things like that. And then this 5th session on February 23rd is going to focus on cow-calf operations. So that's going to hit a lot of our producers around here. Insurance options for cow-calf marketing, enterprise budgeting for those folks. So that is going to be a 5-session program, but you don't have to attend all 5 sessions. You can attend just the crop 4, which are the first 4. You can attend just the 5th one, or you can attend all 5. So that registration information is on our Facebook page. I'm getting flyers put out at businesses today, so look around for those. It's a $50 registration fee. Registration is due by December 31st. And again, there's a link on our Facebook page to that registration form. We also have Stay Strong, Stay Healthy that's coming up in January, and that registration isn't due until the 17th of January. So we've still got almost a month for that. But it's a $20 program, and that is going to be happening at the Girard Extension Office on Mondays and Wednesdays for a couple of months, 8 weeks actually. So Stay Strong, Stay Healthy. It's a strength training program for older adults. So increasing muscle strength, improving balance. They include warm-up exercises, strengthening exercises, and they have cool-down stretches as well. So that's a pretty neat little program. And then we also have Dining with Diabetes that's coming up. That's an online course. It's the primary portion of the course starts on the 4th of January, 1st of February, all online. It's going to help individuals learn strategies to manage their diabetes through menu planning, carbohydrate counting, portion control, and label reading. So lots of different facets of nutritional education there. And I think those are the 3 events I needed to talk about.
All right. So, again, lots of events coming up to get started. And now, your main topic today is going to be feeding frequency.
Yes. So, it occurs to me that a lot of cattle producers around here have leased pastures, or they don't really live where their cows are wintering. And so, that brings up the question of how often do they need to go out to the pasture and feed those cows. So really what it boils down to is what you're feeding them. So when you have your forage analysis done, you know exactly how nutritious the hay is that your cows are eating. And that really plays into what you will supplement. So supplementations range anywhere from those lick tubs that you get at the feed store that are mostly a protein supplement. Some folks will supplement with alfalfa or a soybean meal, grain ration type mix. And so knowing what you're supplementing is really going to dictate how often you need to go out to that pasture. So, of course, there's lots of advantages to feeding less frequently every 3 or 6 days. You spend less time on the road. It's much less labor. Here's one that I didn't really think about, but in muddy conditions, then you're in that pasture less, and so you're creating fewer ruts, and that topsoil stays intact a lot more. So that's another advantage of feeding less frequently. And whenever you're just doing a protein supplement that's a true protein, like a soybean meal or an alfalfa, things like that, then it's certainly okay to do that 3 or 6 days of feeding. But you just have to know what sort of protein you've got there. So if you're doing those protein tubs, which is a urea product usually, or other synthesized proteins, those actually need to be fed every day. And so the protein tubs are easy enough. You can just leave them out there. But if you've got a mix in your feed that you're putting out, or any antibiotic that you're using, like chlorotetracycline for anaplasmosis control, or any ionophores that you're feeding, those need to be fed daily. And if they're not fed daily, they're not going to work properly. So if they're not working properly, then you're pretty much just putting money out on the ground to be left. So you want to make for sure that you're feeding properly, and so you're not wasting your money. Now, whenever we've talked about protein supplements, that is a whole different section than our energy supplements. Energy supplements have to be fed daily if you want to maintain your cow condition, or if you want to make sure your reproductive efficiency is on target, then energy supplements have to be fed every day. Otherwise, if you start feeding those every other day or every 3 days, then the rumen pH in the cow, one of their stomachs, that pH is going to go crazy, and those cows are not going to eat the forage that they need on the off days. So if they're not feeling good in their tummy, just like we know, they're not going to eat like they should. And so that energy level has to be maintained on a daily basis to make sure those cows stay healthy and they feel healthy, and so they will continue eating their hay like they need to, or grazing, whatever it is that they're doing. So know what your supplements are. If it's energy, it needs to be fed daily. If it's protein, synthesized protein, that needs to be fed daily. Ionophores need to be fed daily. But true proteins like alfalfa or soybean meal can actually be fed less frequently. So some of the advantages of feeding less frequently, like I had mentioned, is the mud control. But also, research has found that when cattle are expecting to be fed every day, they tend to camp out, you might say, near the feed bunks. Or they'll meet you at the gate to make for sure that you arrive with their treats. So whenever you feed less frequently, every 3 days or whatnot, then those cows are actually going to utilize their pasture more fully because they are not quite as dependent on that supplement being supplied to them. So grazing patterns can also be affected. Now, some ways that you can combat that grazing pattern being affected whenever they're being fed daily, you know, you can move around the feeding area. In most situations, that's not ideal because we encourage folks to use a feed bunk rather than feeding on the ground. And so moving a feed bunk every time you feed is a real pain. But that would be one way of combating that grazing pattern. The other way would be to make for sure that, like, your mineral supplement or your salt is in a different part of the pasture than where you're feeding your grain or where your pond is or watering source. That way the cows need to be in this area for feeding, this area over here on this section for hay, or this area over here for salt and mineral. That way they're having to utilize the whole entire pasture to get all of the parts of their diet that they need. And they will. They'll rotate through all of those because they know they need that salt. They crave that salt. They crave hay, and we know they crave their supplements, their grain or whatnot. So they'll utilize their pasture a little bit more if you're able to spread those out. So that's about all I've got on feeding frequency. I did mean to mention, of course, whenever you feed on a daily basis, you can count and make for sure your health, animals are healthy, see any other problems more frequently than you would if you were feeding every 3 or 6 days.
All right. So some great information there on feeding frequency. And Wendy, if anybody has any questions they'd like to ask you about that or maybe any other subject, how can they get a hold of you?
Yeah. So you can reach me at the Labette County office. That phone number is 620-774-5337. And I did bring some information with me today since we have a couple of more minutes. About Kansas Ag Mediation Services. Yesterday, we received information that we have a new program coordinator for that office, Kay Prather. She is actually a lawyer here in Kansas, and she is a trained mediator. So for those of you who haven't heard about Kansas Ag Mediation Service, it's a one-stop shop for Kansas agriculturalists to have their kind of solve legal and financial issues. They can provide assistance with liquidation, managing farm finances, mediation between neighbors, things like that. So a lot of times whenever we get phone calls to the extension offices about, hey, you know, my neighbor doesn't want to pay for his half of the fence or the various issues that come through with that, then we can refer those folks to Kansas Ag Mediation Services. And there are trained mediators that can sit down with both parties and kind of find a solution. And but they also know with the Kansas laws. And so most of the time, this is free to producers, to agriculturalists. So it's a great opportunity just to know that that's in your back pocket. And there's a 1-800 number. That number is 321-3276, 800-321-3276, and there is just a host of information on their website as well. I was trying to find that on my little handout here. KAMS at KSU.edu. KAMS, Kansas Ag Mediation Services at KSU.edu.
All right. Well, again, Wendy, thank you so much for all that information. I just got I just started sneezing all of a sudden. So, all right. Well, and now joining us here, they'll be joining us for the second part of the program. We have somebody that has not been here before. We'll go ahead and pull that mic down for them. And good morning. How are you doing?
Hi. Good morning.
Well,
great.
Just kind of, we're not going into your full segment yet because we do got to go to break. But just kind of introduce yourself and what you will be talking about today. Just kind of a preview of what you'll be talking about today.
Awesome. Thank you, Kyle. My name is Carrie Lance, and I am the new 4-H Extension Agent, the Youth Development Agent for Wildcat District. And my home office is in Labette County. So I just got started November 1st, and I'm looking forward to getting in and meeting some more of my families and getting more kids involved in 4-H.
Absolutely. And so you're going to be talking about talking about 4-H today, correct?
Yep. Be talking about the 4-H program and some things coming up and how families can get involved if they're interested.
All right. And we'll get to that here in the second part of our program, but we need to go ahead and take a break. We'll have some news coming up at the top of the hour, and then starting again at 8:10, we'll restart Greenside Up. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. And good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Greenside Up here on the Mighty 690 KGGF here on this Wednesday morning, hump day morning here in Southeast Kansas. And joining us back in studio, of course, Wendy Powell and Carrie Lance. And Carrie, before we get to you, we're going to talk to Wendy real quick. Again, Wendy, you have some events coming up, correct?
Yes. So first of all, I want to mention the risk management skills for Kansas women in ag, or men in ag, and that program is going to focus on enterprise budgeting, crop insurance, crop marketing, farm bill programs, and then our fifth session will focus on cattle marketing as well. So that registration is due by December 31st, so folks interested in that, the two locations for that program will be in the Girard Extension Office and the Independence Extension Office. So hopefully one of those locations will be good for folks. Deadline is, again, December 31st. Check our Facebook page for the registration link. Our Dining with Diabetes online program is coming up. That registration is also the end of the month. It is a $25 program that's going to help folks with manage their diabetes through menu planning, carb counting, portion control, and label reading. And then, excuse me, Stay Strong, Stay Healthy will be happening after the first of the year. It's a $20 program that's going to, it's a strength training program for older adults. So check our website for more information on that.
All right. So, again, those events are coming up. And now joining us here from the K-State Research and Extension Wildcat District 4-H Youth Development Agent in Labette County, it is Carrie Lance. And, Carrie, good morning. First time here today. So welcome to the station.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
All right. Well, it's good to have you here. And, again, you said you started on November 1st and have spent the past month and a half getting to know some of the 4-H families and volunteers and leaders. So, for those maybe that I'm not sure what it is, what is 4-H?
Well, 4-H really is very family-based, very family-oriented. Our members really, we really believe in learning by doing and building leadership skills for our youth. That really just helps prepare them for their future. So they have lots of opportunities to participate in hands-on projects. It's very project-based learning, and it covers a ton of areas that people may not be familiar with. A lot of times whenever people think of 4-H, they think of raising livestock and showing animals at fair, which is a large portion of that, but there's so much more to 4-H that people may not be familiar with. There's woodworking, photography, clothing, cooking, raising and showing animals. There's robotics, rocketry, just about opportunities for anyone anyone who wants to join 4-H, there's something out there for you. So I really feel like whenever you participate in these projects that you get to learn some valuable skills that you can carry with you for your whole lifetime.
Absolutely. No, it's a great program. So maybe if somebody has some kids, so how can families get involved and where do they enroll at?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I'm coming from outside of 4-H. I didn't grow up in 4-H. I'm bringing I spent the last 13 years in education, so I'm really bringing in an outside perspective of how do we get involved if you're not familiar with that. So I'm trying to promote awareness for that. Right now is enrollment is open, and our returning 4-Hers have until January 31st to get re-enrolled. And our new members can sign up until May 1st. So I'll be working with some of the schools and things like that to try to get awareness promoted out there as well. But whenever they're ready to sign up, enrollment can be done online at 4honline.com. And if anyone needs any assistance or technology help, anything like that, they can call the extension office, and I'd be glad to help you. For families who aren't sure which club would be best for them, they're encouraged to call the office or get on our webpage and find a club that's close to them, and they're more than welcome to attend those meetings and kind of get a feel for what 4-H is like before they actually join a club. So I would encourage people to do that as well.
So where can they find the list of maybe the club that's near them?
So on our wildcatdistrict.kstate.edu webpage, there's a list of our clubs, and then there's also our 4-H Wildcat District Extension 4-H Facebook page has a lot of information about upcoming events and things like that as well.
All right. So that way people can go to the one that's closest to them, most convenient for them. So do you have any upcoming programs that families should know about?
We do. So first of all, to touch base on the clubs, there are 10 clubs in Labette County. So there should be one that is close to you within the county that you would be able to attend and try out as well. But we do have some programs coming up, especially for those new families. Our first and second year are kids that may not be familiar with what projects are available. There's a program called Exploring 4-H that Terry Nelson and Eric Marr are going to be putting on. And it's a monthly program that helps focus on, it highlights a different project each month. So it will raise awareness for different projects that kids are available to do within 4-H and to show. So the meetings are going to be hybrid this year. And for the families wanting to attend in person, those meetings will be held in Fredonia at the courthouse in the meeting room in the basement. If you choose Zoom, there will be kits for the project that will be done for the month, and they will be delivered to the local extension office and can be picked up there before the meeting date. So we have one coming up on December 21st. Sign-ups will be closing about a week prior to each of those events, and they can be found. Sign-ups can be found on our Facebook page at Wildcat District Extension 4-H.
And of course, you do have a few more programs that are coming up. And one of those is Horse Panorama.
Yep. The Horse Panorama will be back at Rock Springs this year at the end of January, I believe the 28th through the 30th. So check our Facebook page for more details to come out on that. We've also got 4-H Day with K-State Women's Basketball at the end of January. And I do know that registration is due by December 21st, so that deadline's quickly approaching. That'd be a pretty good Christmas present for those kiddos out there and
absolutely
be a good family trip.
And get to hang out with the K-State Women's Basketball, so that's a lot of fun.
For sure. It's a pretty good package deal, so check that out if you guys are interested. And we also have our 4-H Club Days coming up for all four counties within Wildcat District. All of those will be held in February, and more information will be coming out about those soon as well for signups. So the students participating in Club Days can also earn a scholarship for 4-H camp as well.
That's really good. And you also have an ongoing activity that clubs are participating in, correct?
Yes. We have Live the Pledge. That's a challenge that just really to encourage our clubs to get out there and give back to the community. There's a monthly challenge, and this one for December is Deck the Halls December, and clubs are encouraged to do things like make Christmas cards for the elderly, make a holiday display, they can go caroling, participate in their local Christmas parade, just something to give back to the community, the communities in which we live.
All right, so again, you can check out the Facebook page to check out the monthly challenge, but like I said, this month is Deck the Halls December. So what is the best way to stay informed about upcoming programs and events?
Really, that Facebook group that I was just talking about, Wildcat Extension District 4-H, we're really good about keeping upcoming events posted on that and links to sign up as well. We also post pictures to share the great things that our clubs are doing, and it has the most up-to-date information available for our families on there. So also feel free to call the local extension office and ask about upcoming events, and we'd be glad to fill you in.
Say somebody wants to get their kid involved in 4-H, is there an age range where you can sign up in, or what's the minimum age and what's like the maximum
age?
Yes,
I actually forgot to mention that whenever I was talking about sign-ups. So ages 7 to 18 for 4-H, and we also have Clover Buds that start before that. So that is our age range there.
All right. So again, if anybody does have any questions though, so what is the best way to reach you?
Well, I can be reached at the Altamont Extension office in Labette County at 620-784-5337. And you could also email me at clance@ksu.edu. And we also have some mailed newsletters that go out to our families as well to keep them informed about some of those upcoming events.
All right. So some great information there. So, again, thank you so much for coming in. It was good to meet you here this morning, and we hope to see you again here pretty soon. And, ladies, you guys have a very Merry Christmas if I do not see you guys again.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Thank you. We're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, open line starting around 8:30. Keep it locked here on the Mighty 690 KGGF here on this pleasant morning here in Southeast Kansas, currently 70 degrees.